I hope that you were paying attention to Taylor's baptism earlier in that service. Too often, baptism becomes a formality instead of a meaningful part of a worship service. We do not pray for the one baptized. We do not think about the symbolism baptism represents. And I hope today in this message that we can shed some light on the meaning of baptism. And there exists confusion regarding baptism. Pastors employ very different teaching methods to present the facts which explain the meaning of baptism. Their teaching methods vary. Some pastors preach baptism very frequently, and others do not preach it at all. Regarding the first method of frequently preaching it, the story is told of a pastor who was very fond of preaching baptism, and Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, he preached on baptism. And the deacons, diplomatically of course, requested of him if they could pick the text for the next Sunday's sermon. And he readily agreed. He said that would be fine. So the deacons assigned the pastor Genesis 1:1 as his text. And we know Genesis 1:1 says, God created the heavens and the earth. And they were real pleased with the text they had picked. They felt very confident, and even the chairman said to some of the deacons, let's see him get a sermon on baptism out of that. So the next Sunday, the pastor stood up and he announced the agreed upon text, Genesis 1:1. And then he began. He says, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Earth is two-thirds water. Our topic today is baptism. So we chuckle at that, at the persistence of the pastor who preached all the time on baptism. Well, we know that's not correct. That's not proper to go overboard on a particular topic, but neither is it correct to ignore it altogether. What does the Bible teach regarding baptism? After all, it's an ordinance of the Baptist faith, and we should be familiar with what the Bible teaching is on baptism. So our main text for the day, along with some other selections, can assist us, hopefully, in understanding some truths regarding baptism. And our main text comes from Romans, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 14, and I invite you to follow along in your Bible as I read Romans 6, 1 through 14. This is, of course, Paul writing to the young church at Rome. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we had been united with him like this in death, we certainly will also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but are under grace. May God add His blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of His Word. I would like for us to discuss for a few moments five truths that I believe are found in the Bible regarding baptism. The first truth is baptism is to be performed in a particular manner. This is what we as Baptists believe. This is what is contained in the act and ordinance of baptism. The word baptize indicates to us the manner by which the act is to be accomplished, the act of baptism. Baptism is derived from the Greek word baptizo, B-A-T-Z-I-O. And baptizo means immersion or submersion, to immerse or to submerge. Therefore, baptism, as this word is used in the New Testament, signifies the mode or manner in which it is to be performed because of its very definition. Therefore, as the word baptized is used, it means that Jesus was baptized by immersion, because we know Jesus was baptized, baptizo. He was immersed. We know that it means Jesus commanded baptism by immersion for those who believe in the great commandment. We know it means Peter commanded baptism by immersion at Pentecost, as I read from Acts, the second chapter, verse 38, earlier in our service. And we know that it means that every time a believer was baptized and it was recorded in the book of Acts that the baptism was by immersion. The symbolism represented by the act of baptism mandates immersion. It symbolizes death to sin, burial of our sins, and resurrection to a new life created by God's gift of salvation. Truth number two is that baptism identifies us openly with Jesus Christ. It's a public identification with the sacrifice Jesus made by dying on the cross for us. And upon being baptized, we are openly expressing our faith in the substitutionary death Jesus died for our sins. We are saying we have faith that Jesus died for us, and therefore we are identified as becoming united with Jesus. Paul says, in I think it's verse 3 of our text, we are baptized into Christ Jesus. And this statement denotes the fact that we are in union with Christ. Just as a man and a woman are joined at the marriage altar and become one flesh, when baptized, we become one with the Savior. It identifies us as a child of Christ, like the wedding identifies the bride with the groom. Truth number three about baptism, I believe, is that baptism shows the impact of our salvation experience. Baptism symbolizes the good news, the gospel, if you will. It means that Jesus died for our sins and rose again for our justification. Justification means that we have been, because of Jesus' death, we have been made pure enough. We have been made guilt-free. We have been made as if we were innocent of any sin we ever committed. We are in God's eyes because we have been justified, and therefore we are holy enough, perfect enough to be in His presence in eternity. Jesus died for us, and He arose that we could be justified. Baptism means the believer has died to his or her sin and has been raised to walk a different life. And that's why we need to pray for Taylor and others who are baptized, and for each other, that this new walk is supported by fellow believers. We need to pray for that. We need to pray that God will use us to support each other as we begin and continue our walk of Christian maturity. The key to living the Christian life is to allow Jesus to live through us. Baptism means that the believer will one day live with Christ, because you are guaranteed after you are saved that you will be in heaven with God and Jesus. Truth number four is baptism demonstrates the sufficiency of Jesus' sacrifice. Believe it or not, there are some sects, if you will, I don't call them denominations, some groups of people that believe that Jesus has to die symbolically over and over and over every time someone is to be saved. We don't believe that. We believe that the resurrection demonstrates that Jesus is eternally victorious over death and the grave. In Revelation, the Apostle John writes, Jesus said, "I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." We read in Hebrews 2:14, "Since the children have flesh and blood, He," meaning Jesus, "He too shared in their humanity, so that by His death He might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil." Jesus dying once is eternally sufficient for our sins. His death paid the penalty for our sins in full, and by His death, He rendered us sanctified. He rendered us holy enough to be in God's presence. We were justified and sanctified by His resurrection. And when we come before God, once we leave this earth, it's as if we've never sinned. We're as pure as the driven snow, so to speak, and we can stand in God's presence. The fifth truth about baptism is, and this is very important, just like the other truths are, but it is a call to commitment by a believer. It's a call to believers to forsake the ways of the world. How many times have you seen someone baptized, come down the aisle, profess publicly their faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior, and be baptized, and you see them 6 months later, 6 years later, and they have never changed. They've never changed their walk in this life. It's the same old habits, the same old sins, the same old attitudes. Well, baptism is a call for us as believers to forsake the world, the ways of the world. We must commit our lives to Jesus in order to perceive ourselves as dead to sin. If we don't take that leap of faith, if we don't commit ourselves to Jesus as Lord and Savior, then I don't think we ever fully believe that we are dead to our past sins and to sins that we may be tempted to commit. Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, talking about himself, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. We must not choose to allow sin to have dominion over us. As a believer, living as the world lives is an unconscionable choice. It should not even enter our mind. It does, because we are human. Let's be realistic. We are human, and such thoughts do enter our mind. But we must call upon the strength that God can give us through the Holy Spirit to overcome the devil's temptation, to overcome the thoughts that he would have us to think. Paul says in our text, our main text, we died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? If we've truly had a salvation experience, then we're dead to sin. We should not have a desire to live in it any longer. We should be committed. Baptism should call us to a commitment to wholeheartedly live for Jesus. You know, baptism is a beautiful demonstration of the transformation that's experienced by a believer who accepts Jesus as their Savior and is freed from the slavery and penalty of sin. It is a witness to the non-believer. Hopefully today we have seen a deeper insight into the meaning of baptism. And I ask you, are you a Christian? Have you followed Christ into baptism? If not, what better time than to do that today? Than to walk down the aisle and say, I profess my faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior, and I want to be a child of His. I want to be committed to Him forever. I want to die to my sins and be resurrected to a new life based upon my salvation experience. Take your stand and openly stand with Jesus in the waters of baptism. If you are a Christian, I ask you this question. Are you living your life that you promised to live when you had your baptism experience? And if not, I invite you to take this opportunity as we sing a hymn of invitation to lift up a prayer to God, to ask for His forgiveness, to renew your commitment to Him as a baptized believer, so that others can see the difference that Christ makes in your life. I invite you to come as we sing a hymn of invitation, number 279, O Master, Let Me Walk With You.